Welcome, everybody. This is Diane, and it is Thursday at 1 o'clock on September 25th. We're here with the Parent Success System group. I just want to remind you of a few logistical types of things before we get started. A lot of you have already found us out on Facebook and are out there and active. If you've not been out there on Facebook, go out there because there's lots of good conversation already starting and people are getting to know each other. And so we definitely want you to be out there on Facebook. If you want to get my attention or Elaine's attention, you want to tag us in your Facebook post. So you type the @ and then you type Diane and it should pull up my name and you just enter it in there and then Facebook will let me know that you want my attention and I'll get to it sooner. We try to get out there, you know, at least every day, every other day to look at posts, but if you tag us, it definitely gets our attention quicker. The other thing, continue to look for those Monday morning messages. It's got a lot of great information in it. You will get an email every Monday, whether or not we have a call. And the calls starting from today will be every other week, and so till the end of the year. So the next call is October 8th. I'm sorry, wait, no, wait, what day is it? Thursday. October 9th is the next call for this group. Sorry to confuse you. But so just know that every Monday you're going to get a call. It'll say at the very top, groups are meeting this week or groups are not meeting this week. So that'll be your cue to remember if you don't have it already set up in your calendar to know when they are. But the groups are going to meet every other week. Typically, we'll attach the workbook to the bottom of the email so that if you lose your email from the week before, you'll have but know that you're going to want that workbook. Try to keep it together, keep it in a place on your desktop, or if you want to print it out in hard copy, some of us are visual and like the hard copy stuff, but make sure you have that. And let's see what else. There's something else I was supposed to remind you of. Getting onto the site. Is there anyone that's having trouble getting onto the website to get to the recording?
I haven't tried, so.
Okay. Great, Harvey. Good to know.
Me either.
So there's instructions in the email. I'm going to put instructions in Monday's message again next week so that you guys can have a reminder. It's pretty straightforward, but there is a password because we only want people who've paid for this program to have access to the information.
So that would be the ebook that you're talking about, getting how to get the ebook next week on Monday?
No, it's not the ebook. So in the members section of the site is all of the recordings for these calls, all of our webinars, our webinar history, all the information is on the site behind the password in the members section of the site. So as Parent Success System members, you guys have access to a part of the website that nobody else has access to. So look for information about that in Monday's message.
Do you mind giving the website?
No, not at all. It's impactadhd.com. And when you get there, at the very top in the right-hand side, there's a button that says Members Login. Members Login Here. You press that button, and then you type and you press Parent Success System, which is the program that you're in. And then you type the password, which I'll say now in the recording. Although if you are listening to this, it means you figured out what the password is because you have to be able to have the password to get to the recording. But the password for those of you guys who are live is success with a capital S, 2014, one word, SUCCESS 2014 with a capital S. And you log in and it gets you access to all that information. Okay. So someone else joined from a 641 area.
One more question.
Sure.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but is it when we're on these calls, is it best to be on the website during the call, or it doesn't matter?
So on these calls, we're using the workbook. And so if you've got the workbook, that's probably the best place for you to be looking visually. Starting hopefully the next session, We're going to be on the a webinar platform, so you can see us and see some of the materials and that sort of thing. But that's going to be in the next call, week after next. And as I mentioned, the workbook is at the bottom of the email that you got on Monday that was titled Monday Members Message. I saw one more person join on a 631 area code. Who is that?
That's me, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. So I'm going to, let's see, count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So we've got 11 of you in this call, and this group is primarily, I'm trying to look at ages and stuff like that. Most of you are have older kids, so you're middle school, high school age kids. I'm going to ask, since there's so many of you in this group, if any of you are willing or able to switch next time and moving forward to the Tuesday at noon group. We've ended up kind of off balance, and this has ended up being a really big group, and that one's been, ended up being a smaller group. And so if you are free on Tuesdays at noon, which is 9 o'clock West Coast time, would love for two or three of you to volunteer to swap over so that we have a more balanced group. Is there anybody who knows that they can do that now and would let me know?
I think I may be able to do it.
Okay.
This is Sean. I can do it.
Actually, Sean can do it?
Yes.
And who else?
Harvey.
This is Michelle. I should be able to, too.
Great, great. And if anybody else can, that would be awesome, too. But at least if Harvey and Sean and Michelle, if you guys can start coming on the October, what did I just say, October 7th will be the next meeting of the Tuesday group, and it's at noon. That would be fabulous.
Maybe Katie and Larry can also do it.
Or one of us.
Oh, Katie and Larry can do it, too. Great. Awesome. And here's the reality, guys. I mean, we don't mind if you switch groups. So if you have a week that you have a meeting at noon or you've got some other commitment and have to take your kid to an appointment or something, we absolutely don't mind if you dial into another call. As we just get started here, we would love to have the groups more of an even size so that everybody, that way everybody gets a chance to coach, to get coached and talk and to interact. And it's definitely easier with a smaller group than it is with a completely full group, which is kind of where we're at right now with this one. So, all right, so I've got Katie and Larry, Michelle, Sean, and Harvey. Thank you so much for volunteering to swap over to Tuesdays at noon. All right, so let's dig in. What I would love to do is to hear
from
about
Tuesdays
three...
at noon?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I can't do Tuesdays at noon, but Larry could do Tuesday. I thought it was 1 o'clock Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm sorry, I'm at work then. I can't do 12 o'clock. But he could
Katie,
do 12.
Thank
he
you.
Could do 12 on Tuesdays. Is it better if we split up or no?
It doesn't matter. You guys can do what you want. If you guys will get, since you're both in the program, you guys will get, two perspectives. If one of you comes to one and one of you comes to the other, and you can meet in the middle.
Okay. That's fine with me. But I can only do Thursday at 1. I'm sorry. Larry, can you do 12 o'clock Tuesdays?
Yes, I can.
Okay. All right. So that's what we'll do. Does that help you out?
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay. So what I would love to do is to hear from about three or four of you how things have gone last week and what your any kind of adventures you've had, what's been working, what's not been working since last time we got together. And I noticed somebody's got some background noise going. If you can, if you know you've got background noise, if you can put yourself on mute, that would be fabulous. Thank you. Okay, so I haven't heard Leslie talk yet. Leslie, what's going on? What's been going on with you?
Hello.
Hello.
We are just, still moving into the whole school routine. Patrick is actually home sick today, so he's upstairs. I've locked myself in the office, and I don't know. I'm looking forward to digging in. I did want to ask about the parent manual. I can't get it right now. My computer's flaking out. But when I checked on it when it first came in, the links were not working for me. Did you see that on Facebook? I posted about that.
I can. Why don't you send me a can you try, Leslie, to log in to the members section again and see if you can get it? And if not, send me a personal email. We've been switching over some of our support team, and so I want to make sure that I'm checking it right.
Okay, so when I went to my husband's desktop downstairs, and I am on the download the ADHD parent manual.
Leslie, if we can take this offline, that would be awesome.
Okay.
If you want to stay on for a minute afterwards, I can do
okay.
that.
Okay. Yep.
Awesome. Thanks. Okay, so anybody else want to check in? How have things been going since the last time you talked?
I'll go. This is Teresa. And so what I wanted to work on after the last phone call was being a little bit more flexible and involving my son, who is 13, more in planning and problem solving and all of that. And I think I did a pretty good job of trying not to run the show for him so much and trying to involve him more. But one issue that we have with him, we have it, and I know he does the same thing with his teachers who try to help him, is sometimes he's very resistant to help, and he's very resistant to problem solving. Like, his attitude is kind of like, this is just who I am. People need to accept me how I am and not try to make me change. And so I'm just curious if you have any hints for how do we deal with that? How do we try to get him to want to help himself and to want to try different things, to help with his problem areas? And mostly I'm talking about things like homework and being disorganized around the house.
Yeah. So, Teresa, remind me of how old your child is?
He's 13.
Yeah. Well, it may just be that developmentally he's not at the stage where he is self-motivated. And the challenge with these middle ages is that they're often beyond the place where it motivates them to do what mom and dad want them to do because they want to be good kids. And they're too young to begin to be self-motivated. And so it really is a pretty big challenge to try to find it. But if you can present it as a problem and find ways to hold him accountable for helping you solve the problem. So it's kind of like we have this challenge. We need to find a way for you to capture the information that, you know, I'm making this up, but, you know, that they give in class to make sure you have all the homework assignments at home. What do you think we should do, or what do you want to do, depending on kind of whether it's a we or a you, to get it fixed. But engaging him in terms of asking him questions about how to handle it can be something that can be really helpful.
Okay, because he was diagnosed at 8, and really it's been since he was diagnosed. His attitude has always kind of been like, this is how I am, and just very resistant. And he's very smart and can be very manipulative. And I know sometimes he tries to, like, manipulate his teachers into feeling sorry for him and, you know, not maybe requiring some things of him that are required of the other kids. And, you know, just trying to work with that and to get him to see that, like, in the end, he's really hurting himself when he does that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Well, if you can hold that, let's maybe we'll have you, if we've got some time to do some laser coaching, Teresa, we'll pick that as our topic today.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else want to check in on the celebration, what really worked since the last time you guys worked together last?
I'm not sure was there a specific topic, or is it your own specific topic that you work on for the week?
Well, and I don't know whether you were on last week, but at the end of each call, we ask everybody to create an action plan and say, I'm going to focus on this for the next week.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm curious as to what people focus, you know, how did you have some successes, what you tried to focus in on, that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, we did have a goal, and it's really for our daughter to be less rude to us, both of them, both of us, and we've been working on that now for a couple of weeks, and we've been trying to, you know, come up with a system of rewards that she actually was part of, you know, making up consequences and then making up rewards. And so I came up with this ticket idea. I bought a roll of tickets at Office Depot, and I had seen this used a long time ago by another person that I went to a CHAD conference with, and she had actually teenage boys, and it worked with them. So we give her a ticket for, you know, whatever is really a good thing that she's done. So in the morning, if she's not rude and she's not nasty, then she gets a ticket just for that. And then I put on the back of the ticket, you know, what it is, and then I put it in the jar. And then at the end of the week, she can either cash in some tickets or she can save them up for bigger things, which we haven't completed the list yet. You know, like one of the big, big things would be like, you know, go on an outing for a Saturday afternoon or, you know, go to a movie, family movie or something like that. So we've been working on that. But today we really ran into a grind because I don't know what the problem was. My husband doesn't know either, but she was absolutely obstinate, and she threw her books, and she was late for school, and she was supposed to be safety patrol, and she just was totally obstinate. And she's 12, and she's also, you know, first time in middle school in sixth grade, and she's very, you know, she's resisting stepping up to the plate and taking some responsibility for herself, and we didn't know really quite what to do. You know, what are you supposed to do for consequences?
Yeah, so
I'm a little bit out of it.
Yeah, so, I mean, so this is Katie, right?
Yeah, this is Katie.
Okay, yeah. So, Katie, you know, number one, congratulations for getting this reward system set up. And I think that sometimes our kids have bad days. Sometimes we have bad days. And so, you know, I wouldn't write off the whole thing from a bad morning, but keep going at rewarding and see how she does with rewarding. Make sure you pay attention to whether or not, you know, how far out the rewards are, and are the tickets actually motivating her? Because it's really important to make sure that it is a motivation for her. But keep it up, and you know what? The reality is that sometimes we're going to have a morning where it doesn't matter what we do, it's not going to work, and you just got to chalk that up and move on and try it again the next day or the next afternoon or whatever it is. Okay, so I'm going to move into our topic a little bit. Actually, you know what? What I want to do is to be really clear. We went through the parenting action model last week, and those of you who are not on the call, the parenting action model is what we do, what we go through in the ADHD parent manual. I think Leslie mentioned trying to get that download again. And if you haven't listened to that, I would encourage you to listen to last week's call again or to go on and download the ADHD parenting manual, because it really walks you through our whole process. And the parenting action model. But the first thing we always do is we take aim. So we get really specific on what we're going to focus in on. And so Katie gave us a great example, which is focusing on her daughters being rude to them. And that's been an issue for them, and that's what they're focusing on. There's so many different things to focus in on that we want to take them one at a time so that you don't get overwhelmed, so that your kids don't get overwhelmed, and they're very clear about what, you know, what behavior change they're working on. And we find that you can be much more successful if you take things more like one at a time. So take a minute and jot down on maybe in your workbook or on a piece of paper what specific area you want to take aim on over the next couple weeks. And I would love to hear from a couple of the folks who haven't spoken up yet in terms of what they're going to be taking aim on. What is their particular issue that they're focusing in on? Coco, maybe you. I haven't heard from you yet.
Well, last week we focused on my son has issues with eating, and so I started with giving him vitamins and an omega-3, and so that was really successful. And and then this week he's had a little bit of trouble with the homework and the knowing what needs to be done when and all of that stuff. And he's almost 15 now, so he's been, you know, we've had a long history of working things out together. So I let him try it his way first, and so I give suggestions and we try to brainstorm, and you know, he tosses those out and say it was ridiculous and whatever. So I'm like, okay, well, let's just do it your way and see how it goes. And so he's finally starting to hit a wall, and so this week I'm going to take aim on helping him come up with a system that works for him to remember to write his homework down and have a system to put it in place and turn it in on time. So that's going to be our aim this week.
Awesome. All right. Anybody else want to share? Paulette, do you want to share what you're going to be taking aim on?
Yeah, I'd like to focus on having my 17-year-old daughter clean up after herself, after meals and snacks. That's
great.
Always a struggle to, can you just clear this? And she does it after many urges.
Great. Thank you. Somebody just joined us from a 507 area code. Who's on?
It's me, Dawn Swanson. I'm sorry I'm late.
All right. Hey, Dawn. It's Diane.
Hi.
We were just taking aim. So everybody was kind of writing down what their areas that they're going to focus in on for the next couple weeks before we get started in our topic. So take a minute and jot that down if you don't mind.
Okay.
We've got a big group, so I'm feeling like I might be calling on folks, or so I want to just make sure that everybody has a chance to participate if they want to.
Okay.
Great. And Patty, I see you've joined as well.
Yes, sorry about that.
Great. For those of you who came on a little bit late, one of the things, this is a really big group, and so we're asking if you can switch to the Tuesday at 2 or even the Wednesday at 1 group. We would love for a handful of people to switch over. We've got 13 on the call today, and we're shooting for having less than 10 on every group, and so that way people all get a chance to participate and talk. So if you can switch to a different group, we would love for you to consider doing that, please. All right, so we're going to jump into self-care. And I know that a lot of you are probably thinking, you know, I want to jump into the tactics. I want to deal with this stuff with our kids. You know, I want to fix what's going on. And we start purposefully this whole work with self-care because we know that for most parents, it's the thing that ends up on the back burner more than anything else. And it's also the thing that we find that is pretty impactful when we're trying to help and support our kids. And it's important for a couple of reasons. Number one is that as parents, if we're exhausted and overwhelmed and have no energy, it's really difficult to parent. We get angry a lot more quickly. We end up checking out more often. And, you know, it's much easier to problem solve and stay engaged and parent when you're feeling good. And so that's one of the reasons that self-care is really, really important. The second thing that's really important about self-care is that it sets a great example for our kids. And our kids need examples for taking care of themselves and taking care of their brain and eating healthy and getting enough sleep and spending time with friends and, you know, all those things that feed us as people. And so if we are constantly worn out and not doing things that are healthy, our kids see that. Our kids are like these giant mirrors, and they pay attention to absolutely everything we do. So it's really important that, you know, we're taking care of ourselves emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, you know, the whole you, so that, you know, you're leading by example and also so you have enough energy to really focus in on your kids. So one of the exercises we do a lot with our one-on-one clients when we're talking about self-care is on page 12 of the workbook. It's the self-care wheel of life. And so we're not going to take the time to do this right now, but, you know, I want you to take some time when we get off the phone and really kind of evaluate where are you at with different aspects of self-care. Because self-care, a lot of times we think about, oh, yeah, self-care, I'm going to go to the gym. but it's not just that. It's there's, I think, 12 suggested sections here. So it's nutrition, exercise, personal care, your physical environment. So it might be clutter. You know, you've got a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of clutter in your life. Time management and how you're handling your time, your social life, your intimate relationships, your sleep. So we want you to really kind of look at all those different areas. And the way that this, if you've never done a Wheel of Life, you do is you score and you say, 0 is completely unsatisfied, and 10 is completely satisfied. And 10 is the outside ring of the circle, and 0 is the inside ring of the circle. And so you're going to put a little marker on each one of these, and then you're going to try to draw a wheel. And you can see the example here that this is going to be a pretty bumpy ride for this person because there's not a lot of balance in terms of their satisfaction with all these different areas. So it just gives us a way to kind of really look and focus in on what are the things that we most need to pay attention to with regard to our self-care. So it's a great thing for you to kind of look through and say, okay, what do I mean by self-care and what do I want to do about it? So just let me hear from a couple of you. What do you think of when it comes to self-care and how would you score yourself? Terry, what about you?
Somewhere in the middle. I do take time to read because that's something I really enjoy doing, but I don't take any time to get out of the house and go for a walk or do anything that will keep me healthy.
Yeah.
So my brain is in pretty good shape, but my body not so good.
So what are your medicines and getting in the way?
A lot of it's time. You know, when I do have time to do something, it's late at night. And I really don't want to get up off the couch at 9 o'clock and go for a walk. So that's one of it. Part of it is on the weekends, I always feel like that's my downtime. And so that's something that I value is to have an hour on a weekend afternoon to read a book.
Awesome.
So,
well, and I think sometimes it's about noticing what we are doing. Yesterday, you know, if you're already, you know, taking that hour of downtime on a Saturday to read, that's absolutely self-care. And sometimes it's about making a choice for yourself instead of your kids. So, for example, if you have a family game night, even though that may not be self-care, if you pick a game that you really enjoy once in a while, so you're not always playing, you know, Racco or whatever it is that your kids love, then you're taking care of yourself. Or if you're cooking dinner and it's like you're going to cook something that you enjoy, you know, at least once a week when you plan your menus, like if you pick something that you really like, that's a way to take care of yourself and feed yourself. And the other thing that kind of comes up as you're saying that is because it's late at night, you know, is there a way to kind of do things with your kids that feed you as well? You know, so if you like going for a walk, I've started going for a walk with my 13-year-old daughter, and it's time for us to connect and talk, but it's also time for me to get some exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So just some things that came up. What about other folks? Sean, what comes up for you as you think about self-care?
Exercise is pretty important, and socializing is pretty important. And I think those of us with older kids have a little bit of advantage in this in some ways, because when my children were younger, self-care was really hard to pull off. But because they can do some things independently, and those of us that have kids that can do some things independently, it opens up a little more opportunity. So I found in recent years I've had more chance to actually get exercise and things like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I hear the same thing from parents. It's like, oh, wow, I can actually leave them home alone for an hour. I could go do something and not have to feel like I have to be there with their kids. Anybody else want to share kind of how they are doing with their self-care and what comes up for them?
Well, I can add something. This is Harvey. We recently moved to a new town. And so my son is new at the high school here. We're kind of in a remote location that's sort of in the woods. up here in Vermont. And so it's not easy to get in and out of the it's sort of like once we get home at night, we're here sort of back in the woods, and it's there's a tendency to just sort of stay here. So it's been really challenging. I did have some self-care things in place at the town we used to live in, but in this new location where everything's new, it's been a lot harder.
Yeah, it is. And when you get out of a habit, it's hard to kind of get back into it, Harvey. It makes perfect sense.
Right.
So I would encourage you to kind of come up with a commitment that you're going to make to at least explore with some of these areas of self-care over the next 2 weeks and come up with something that you think that you could reasonably tackle, whether it's, you know, driving 15 minutes on Saturdays to, you know, something in a less remote area, or, you know, spending some time out in nature, which a lot of people, you know, you're out in nature, which is awesome. A lot of people really get self from being outside, that sort of thing.
Right.
Anybody else?
This is Katie. I was just going to say that my daughter has to read now for an assignment. She has to read 20 minutes a night. And so that's something that I haven't been doing. I haven't been reading for enjoyment, and I always want to do it. So I said to her, you know, other than things for work, so I've been reading a lot of nonfiction and basically books for work, you know, but I'd like to read just stuff for enjoyment too, you know, like novels and Harry Potter. So anyway, I said, well, tell me when you're going to read, you know, and then we'll set the timer and I'll make sure I'm reading too. So that's a plus for me. Because I'm having to do it because she has to do it, so that's definitely a good addition for me.
Great example, thanks, Katie. Anybody else?
This is Mary Jane
and Michelle. I would.
Oh, so Mary Jane and then Michelle.
I don't feel like I'm doing a very good job of it, and I guess. Part of it is I work out of town, which is like about a 75-minute drive one way twice a week. That's going to decrease to once a week next month, which should help. But I was wondering if you had any comments. Things like at our house have been complicated by the fact that, like, my dad has been in declining health and my father-in-law has had some mental health issues since he retired, and we've got both sets of parents starting to, like, demand time that, you know, we need to go over and help with the parents' needs to, you know, relieve the spouses.
Well, and it's hard because it's, you know, it's about... That's conflicting priorities, Mary Jane, and you're right. It's like when you know that you need to spend a lot of time in the car to get to work, or you know that you want to be able to be there for your, you know, your parents, it makes it difficult. But would encourage you to even find just a few minutes. And the thing that kind of popped in my head as you're saying that is there's something you could do in the car while you're driving for so long that you would enjoy, whether it's a book on tape or listening to your favorite music or talking on the phone to a girlfriend. You know, something that you could do while you're having to do other stuff, or is there something that you could do, you know, with your parents? So if it's, you know, I don't know you personally and what you enjoy, but you know, me going over to a parent's house and cooking them a fun dinner would really be enjoyable for me. Even though I'm cooking, I love to cook, and it's something that would be helpful to them, but also would make me feel fulfilled.
Okay.
Anything else from folks on self-care? What comes up for you as you're faced with this challenge of focusing on self-care? Michelle, you had something.
Oh, sorry. So I was just going to say, I think one of the things that I've found, my son is 16, and then my daughter's 12, And so I find that I do have the time to get to the gym and to exercise, and I've definitely found that that's something that I need to do physically, mentally. It's a huge stress reliever. It totally helps so much. So I feel like that's something that I've really made a priority, and so that's a great thing. One of the things that I find now, as the kids are getting older and everybody's so active and has, you know, everyone has activities, and so just kind of having that family time that is so important. And I consider that part of self-care because it's family is so important to us. And so I do find that that is something that, you know, with the ages of the kids, you know, they want to be with their friends. You know, they play on sports teams. They have homework. They have all of these activities that a lot of times drives our social life, too, which doesn't, like, that's fine for me. But, you know, just kind of having that really crucial family time, even getting a chance to sit down to dinner together, which is something that we have always done. But it's harder to do now because, you know, of sports and just different things every evening. So that's something that I'm kind of struggling with right now on, you know, how do you choose your battles? And, well, you know, you're not going to do this tonight because we need to spend some time together as a family and, you know, kind of how to work through that.
Yeah, and it's hard. It kind of came up for me as well that, you know, sometimes if you go out and spend time away from your kids and they're able to stay alone, things don't get done. You know, so they're not able to do their homework because they're not following through on their homework when you're not there to kind of keep track of that. There's a trade-off, and so you feel guilty or you feel bad. It's like, oh, I can't go because they've got to get their homework done. And like you said, it's about picking your battles and about figuring out what can I let go of. And I had someone once tell me that it's really not about anything other than prioritization. And, you know, and if we realize that self-care is going to help us, you know, and it's like, so if I get home at 9 o'clock at night and my kid hasn't done his homework, I can still lay in bed and start to relax and end my day while he's sitting there finishing up his homework and having to stay up late, you know, and that's on him, not on me. You know, if, you know, it, so it's really about trying to find ways to make what's important a priority and being able to let go of some things to make it happen. The world will not end, and somebody told me this once, the world will not end if your kids get their homework in one day late.
Well, it's definitely their consequence.
Yep.
And I will share this. The other night we had our high school open house where you basically follow through your child's schedule. And, you know, you're sitting there, and I could see myself being totally overwhelmed because pretty much now, like, my son wants to be in charge of his own homework. He doesn't want me to guide his, doing it. So it comes down for him to do it. And so as I'm sitting there and I'm hearing about these assignments and everything and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, like, is he doing it? Oh, you know, like, I found myself getting completely overwhelmed. And even in chemistry, the teacher had a list of by student number. You could see their homeworks and what they were doing. And so I thought, like, that day my son had a 0 for his homework. So I went up to the teacher to ask him, like, well, what's the ramification? If it's late, do they get points off? Like, and he said to me, you know, your son came to me this morning and said at the beginning of class that he didn't have his homework done and that he would get it done by the end of the day and would he get points. And so as much as I was like, you know, damn, he didn't do his homework, I thought, wow, well, he went to the teacher. He took it upon himself. So I kind of had to consider that a success.
Yeah, no, absolutely, that's it, because he's taking accountability.
And the teacher even said that he's like, you know, I have to say, he came to me, he took accountability, I told him, just get it done by tomorrow, and I would let this one slide. So, you know, that at least, like, as much as I was, like, feeling overwhelmed, I was like, well, you know, he is trying to take accountability, so, and that's what we want.
Yeah, and I would say that and some of you are not, you know, your kids are not that far in terms of taking accountability, and don't lose hope. You know, as they get older, they tend to do that more and more and more, and I'm a firm believer that they take accountability as much as they can at the level they're at developmentally. And you know, you trust them to do that, and you got to help them along. So it sounds like you had a great experience with that. How hard is it to kind of let go of the other and just kind of celebrate?
It depends on the day.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, Michelle. Okay.
But I think this, you know, the whole point of self-care is helpful. You feel stronger if you're taking care of yourself, that you can deal with it so much better than when you're stressed out and, you know, crazed over other things. So it helps you put it into perspective better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I understand that. Any other kind of parting thoughts on self-care? We'll move on to the next part of the call.
Sometimes, this is Dawn. When I ask for a gift, like from my parents or someone, I might ask for a gift of somebody to come in and clean the house. And that just takes a lot of stress away from me, and then I can do my own thing a little bit more.
Great.
So that's about it.
So you ask for something. If somebody says, what do you want for your birthday or what for a holiday or whatever, you say, you think of something that will enable you to get some self-care and not just a material thing. That's great.
And my daughter, she's really good about this. My son is the one with ADHD, and my daughter is, she has anxiety, but she doesn't have ADHD. And she, for Mother's Day, or no, it was my birthday, got me, without my asking, like a gift certificate for a yoga. She knew I liked yoga, but I don't do it. So, and she keeps bugging me, have you done it yet? Have you done it yet? And I haven't, so I'm on a journey. I'm not quite there, but... I think it's nice when people around me support my self-care.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks. And I think that's the piece of it, is that we're going to talk about asking for help as a tip later on. But, you know, a couple of you have mentioned, you know, if you find a way to ask someone to help you so that you can get some self-care, that's another way to kind of sneak it in.
I have a comment about that, because in the asking for help so that you can do some self-care, my daughter that's 17 with ADD, you know, is constantly asking for money to do things with friends, and we ask her to come up with a list of chores that she wants to do, because it's very, very difficult to get her to help around the house, and we put prices to it. And it has been a couple of weeks, and she has yet to do one chore. So, you know, asking her to unload the dishwasher, asking her to walk the dogs, asking her to do all these little jobs that can, you know, relieve you to do other things and doesn't leave all the responsibility of house cleanup and work on the parent is, like, impossible. I would love to hear some advice on how to get her to help.
So, what have you been trying so far to get her to help, Patty?
Asking her, you know, the trash day is this morning, and you can make $1 for taking the trash. No, do you want to do it? I asked her to walk the dog yesterday because I was really busy. And
so it sounds like,
for
a second, Patty, so it sounds like it's an option for her, something she can do, but it's not a requirement.
Well, because there's a price attached to it.
Right, but it's an option. You're not requiring her to do it. You're giving her an incentive to do it if she wants to. So she still has the choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm wondering, if you really want her to be able to do it,
yeah,
is there an opportunity to make it a requirement as opposed to an option?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Is there a way to make it a requirement rather than an option?
We have tried that, and that didn't work. So.
Okay. Because the reality is that, you know, if our kids are not motivated to do something and you're making it optional, it makes perfect sense that she's not doing it. I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's like this cause and effect sort of thing. You want her to do it. She doesn't want to do it. There's no incentive for her to do it that's appealing to her. I mean, if it's kind of like you and I. It's like if somebody said, hey, Diane, I'll give you $5 if you go, you know, take my dog for a walk. If I'm not interested in taking their dog for a walk, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, like I said, before we had set it up as if we asked you for help, you need to do it. And that didn't work either. So let's
kind of go towards what it might take to get it to work. And so if it becomes a requirement for her to do it, then what's the consequence if she doesn't?
I'm sorry.
Oh, did you not hear me? I'm sorry. So the question is, if a reward doesn't work, then the question is, do you make it a requirement and then have a consequence if she doesn't do it?
Consequences? I mean, yeah, I guess we could take the phone away, take electronics away.
And I think one of the things that I know that that I encourage parents to do kind of before they take away stuff is that if you can find a way to shift, so there's actually three things. There's rewards, and there's consequences, and then there's this third piece, which is that you take things that they consider to be given. Electronics is a great sort of thing, and you have them begin to earn it instead of having it get it automatically. So one of the things that I've done successfully with my teenagers is to say, here are the things you need to do in order to earn 30 minutes worth of screen time each day. And so that, yes, they get screen time, but they have to accomplish certain things in order to get it. So it's less about taking it away as it is about changing the policy for how they get it. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep.
So it's kind of an in-between. So you've got rewards, you've got consequences, and part of it is just figuring out what your child does respond well to, and part of it is figuring out what works for you.
Yeah, she just is not motivated to do much of anything. So it's very, very difficult to get her to do anything.
Yeah, we're going to talk about motivation. When are we going to talk about motivation? In a couple, is that next week? No, we're going to talk, in a couple weeks we're going to talk about motivation, and it's really important. And so begin to notice what it is that does motivate her. You know, is it rewards? Is it consequences? Is it competition? Is it urgency? You know, it's like we're all motivated by different things, and it's important to kind of really understand what it is that does or doesn't motivate our kids. To start to pay attention to that. Okay. We are getting close to the end of our call here. I'm going to suggest that everybody take a minute and start writing down some thoughts for what they learned today. We've got four questions that we always ask at the end of each call. So let's just take a minute and start into our wrap-up. So the first question is on page 11. What did I focus on or pay attention to today? You know, so what was the thing that kind of jumped out at you the most? And then what is your clarity or takeaway from that? You know, what was your aha from the conversation? The third question is, what's a realistic action step for me to take? And the last one is, how can I set myself up for success? Take a minute and write down the answers to those four questions, either on a piece of paper or in your workbook, and I'll call on a few of you to just share a little bit. Um, So, Paulette, did you have a big aha today or a small aha?
Well, I kind of, I'm still thinking about it. Because I was thinking about cleaning up after herself. I was thinking that I was going to focus on that, but that's not today. That's something else. So.
Jennifer, what about you?
I guess remembering priorities and self-care. Remembering to, you know, prioritize, focus on if something isn't working in the wheel here, how do I bring it up in a priority in my day or my week so that it's working better than it is? Because some of it's working really well and some of it's not at all working very well. So that was something that kind of stood out.
What do you think you would want to do in terms of taking action to resolve that?
I think I just need to look at it further and, like, pick one or two things and figure out, like, you know, small steps that I can take during the entire day, too, because a lot of times if something for myself, if, you know, I can fit in exercise first thing in the morning, and if it doesn't happen first thing in the morning, if I don't schedule it in, if it's not part of a class, it just doesn't happen for me. It's all about what's going on with everything else that needs to happen. So maybe, you know, trying to figure out what a priority is that I can move up and how can I actually schedule it into my, you know, my days, my weeks, so it's more fulfilling and I'm at a better, more balanced level to deal with my son.
Yeah, well, that's great. And the other thing I love that you said, Jennifer, was that if you can find small pieces, and so I think that that's the piece of it. I would challenge each of you to write down 5 or 10 things that you think you could do with self-care that wouldn't require 2 hours at the gym or, you know, a big adventure. You know, I don't think I mentioned this, but, you know, we always have, in our house, we're always arguing over what radio station we listen to in the car. And whenever I decide that I'm going to listen to my radio station, it's like, this is my self-care. And I like my music and I'm not going to listen to, you know, I'm going to listen to something that feeds me for 15 minutes in the car. And that's self-care.
Yeah.
Taking the dog for a walk can be self-care. You know, working in the garden, things that have to be done can be self-care. What else is anyone going to commit to in terms of their aha and what they want to do about it?
This is Katie. I think one of the things that my husband and I discovered is that we can't take away something that's required. And your three things, what was the first thing you said? There's three steps to it, because I want to get away from taking away and some younger, you know, types of consequences that she had and really step up to, you know, the things that are more pertinent to her, like doing artwork and doing crafts and things like that. That's really, really what she cares about, you know, and she cares about that and allowing enough time for that, free time, you know, so she has to earn free time. And then we have a couple other things that we really need to tweak, but I would like to get rid of some of the negative things, you know, like time out and sitting on the step and that kind of thing. And what were the three steps that you suggested earlier?
Well, so I said number one is reward. So, and actually there's, for all of you, that one of the things that's out on the website is the recording. And I did a webinar a couple springs ago called Reward Systems That Really Work. And I talked about the different steps of that, and we've got some stuff on motivation as well. But, you know, you can do rewards. So it's about being really clear, and you can interview your kids. I would encourage you to spend some time talking to your kids and find out what it is that motivates them. Our kids are old enough to kind of articulate that, you know, what are some rewards that they would want to have. The second thing is consequences. And so there are kids who really do respond very well to having things taken away. If you can do it in a practical way rather than a
angry, frustrated way, which is, this is the house rule, and I'm sorry you didn't follow the rule, but that means that you can't play Xbox tonight. What often happens is that we end up getting into a power struggle with our kids because they broke a rule and they want us to change the rule. But then the other thing you can do, is which is an in-between, is that you take something, Xbox is a great example, where my son has to earn Xbox time as opposed to saying you get Xbox time. You know, and so that becomes kind of an in-between sort of thing where you're withholding something that they think they deserve, and you're explaining that it's a right, not a privilege. Or it's a privilege, not a right. I said that backwards. And you say you can earn it. And I don't want you to not have Xbox. I want you to be able to have Xbox, but in order to get Xbox, this is what you have to do. Does that clarify, Katie?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, because that's what she's always wanted, extra free time to do her crafts.
Right.
So
right.
We're
so you have free time,
free
but this
time.
Has to be done first.
I'm sorry? What was that last night?
I said you can have free time, but this has to happen first. Is what you said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're almost at time. Any other parting thoughts from folks, big ahas, or areas of focus for them coming up the next couple weeks?
This is Sean.
Sean?
I'm going to try to get my son is struggling a great deal, and it's not clear whether he's going to school or not to school. He's a senior. My focus is to try to get him off the fence on that, but without setting myself into a tizzy. So that's my aim. That's not a small thing, but that's what I have to take aim at.
Awesome. Well, look forward to hearing how that goes, Sean. Okay, so everybody, post that on Facebook. If you have any questions or issues that come up, let us know. Be sure to tag us. If you're feeling like one of the things, and I did mention this is a bigger group, I'd encourage you, if you have the opportunity to switch and go to the Tuesday at noon East Coast time group, would love to have you join us there. The other thing I would just plant the seed is that if you know that you'd like to have some one-on-one coaching support to kind of wrestle an issue to the ground, we do have our PSS Plus program if you want to learn a little bit more about that. I think we'll probably send something out over the next week. But if you're curious and are interested in getting email coaching, one-on-one coaching to go along with it, we're happy to chat with you about that. And thank you all for being with us this week. And I didn't forget about you, Leslie. I'll stay on for a minute and we can talk about what you're trying to do with the parent manual and wrestle it to the ground here.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.